Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at Kratzer.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon.
And welcome to today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. Very pleased to be joined again by Sarah Bartlett, Bob Buhner. Kevin is on vacation this week.
I think Sarah just changed her voice.
Yeah, it's me. It's me, Steve. It's Kyle.
Kyle. Well,
just
Kyle.
Another pretty face.
Exactly, just another pretty face to make sure the show goes perfectly.
We'll debate that later.
Yeah.
Great to have you guys on board. Bob and I had a fascinating conversation yesterday on the legalities. This is also a time where the O'Bannon trial is going on, and we talked a little bit about that yesterday. But there are people that have argued with me today about, look, let the free market take over. You know, when it comes to players, if you want to pay, you need to pay $4.5 million for a lineman out of high school, you got to pay $4.5 million. And they said, because that's capitalism and that's the American way. And that is, okay, while on the surface, yes, but that's not how sports works. If that were the case, why is it that Johnny Manziel didn't negotiate, have the freedom to negotiate with all 32 NFL teams?
That's why they have a draft.
He's a Cleveland Brown. He got drafted.
Yeah.
Right? LeBron James could have gone to Japan. He could have gone to Europe. But if he opted to be in the NBA, he had to go to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Okay? It wasn't when his contract was over, then he could become a free agent, just as he became a free agent today and could go anywhere he wants. But the free market, in sports, works in some ways and is beneficial to others. Socialization has worked in sports because of the competitive part of it. It's about competition. For example, the New York Giants, why Wellington Mara decided that when Pete Rozelle and Burt Bell came to him and said, hey, look, we need to split the TV money up. And he said yes. The reason why is that he knows that nobody's going to tune in to watch 16 New York Giants scrimmages. You got to play somebody.
We have all kinds of anti-competitive measures built into place, Steve, and you touched on one, which is the draft. The other one are things like salary caps, the sharing of various revenue streams by the teams in the affected professional sport. We have the same thing in regards to the Big Ten, where they do revenue sharing of certain contractual things like the Big Ten Network. So it's not a competitive right. model that is the free enterprise system. It's a hybrid.
It is a hybrid of it, and here's the other part, is that what people don't realize in the free market, hey, let's take Johnny Manziel. Texas A&M was averaging 90,000 fans per game before Johnny Manziel ever stepped on the field. They are going to average 90,000 fans this year after he's left. Okay, now explain to me the difference he made at Texas A&M financially. What's the financial difference he made at Texas A&M? He didn't get them into the SEC.
No. Sold a lot of t-shirts.
I mean, he made them more exciting. Yeah, but you and I both know that is a minuscule amount.
It is.
Of what they get. It's minuscule. I mean, jersey sales are small. You know, I mean, there are only so many Kevin Hurs in the world that are willing to just blow money on a jersey.
Yeah, what the heck? You got that right. There are only so many Kevin Hurs in the world.
Then thank goodness for that.
Yeah. But you're right. There are.
It's not even here.
Yes. So, how do you go about defining value of some 17-year-old high school? Now we're looking at basically juniors, because that's what class is actually committing to go somewhere right now. How can you put a value on that? You can't.
But here's the free market at work. Okay? That 17-year-old can go to the IMG Academy for the next 3 years and pay their way to learn how to play quarterback or whatever other position they want to try and get ready for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Or they can take a scholarship, take the free weight room, take the free meal plan, take the free coaching, take the free film work, right? And then, of course, practice and play.
And you know, okay. Steve, there's something you didn't touch on in that regard, but it's a huge amount of any major university's sports budget. It's the academic tutoring, the study halls, all of the things that happen that, you know, if you wanted tutoring where I went to college, back when I went to college, you paid for it extra. It just didn't come. It's just not the scholarship. Right. There's all kinds of fringes like the academic tutoring, which gets somebody a degree. That, again, adds to the value of the education you've been talking about.
And then there's other steps to it, though. All right, now let's get to the negative parts, the parts that have to change. They really can't have a job like a student can on campus.
No.
They really can't do that. That's why now I'm in favor of stipends. I'm in favor of $2,000 during the academic year, which runs 10 months. Okay, it's $200 a month. If you have 1,000 student-athletes on your campus, and most don't, right, that would run you about $2 million, all right, per year. Okay, it's 2,000 times 1,000.
Right.
All right. Okay, so now you're talking about $2 million. Not everybody has $2 million, but you'd have to find it. That's one. The other part is there needs to be much stricter rulings and much stricter adherence to a reasonable hour per week that a student athlete can practice and play. 20 hours a week? You and I both know they're not putting in 20 hours a week. Okay? Everybody knows that. I mean, that's what got me about the Northwestern thing, where they sat there and they said, you know, the arbitrator said a 50 to 60 hour work week. You know what really struck me? Give me the long list of coaches that came out after that and said, no, we're only allowed 20.
Yeah.
Who said that?
I didn't hear a word.
No one. Not one coach stepped up and said, no, the rule is 20. I mean, really, you know, 20, it's 20 hours. Yeah.
You know what that comes under, the name, Steve, what they've called it? You read it from sports writers everywhere. Everybody's engaged in film study, whatever that means. They spend hours and hours and hours on the category of film study. I never figured
for a college quarterback, like take Kane Coulter, for example.
Sure.
A guy like Kane Coulter, I'll bet, put in a lot of film study, because it was not only film study on what he was doing, but he was also playing tailback and he was also playing slot receiver. I would guess that Christian Hackenberg does a fair amount of film study here.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Michael O'Connor, a fair amount of film study. Okay, you do this, they do that. How do you counter it? Now, does an offensive lineman need to do as much film study? No. Bill's over there, go get him.
Exactly. Knock the guy down and don't let him get back up.
Just so you know. But for the middle linebacker, who has to call out signals, recognize formations, to the safety that has to really call out coverages based on what they see. Yeah, those individuals have to do more film study than the average player does, just like a quarterback does. But Yeah, they put in a lot of film study. They do a lot of 7-on-7 work on their own. Of course, obviously, they're lifting weights. But as people would tell you, the eating component, they changed the eating component, which was good. They need to change the stipend part. They need to do that. The image thing with EA Sports, they just flat out blew. They overstepped their bounds. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt. They overstepped their bounds. They went and they said, oh, we can do this, and they were making money. Now, that part there is wrong. To me, and also, I also feel that if an individual football player wants to do a signing for money at some place, they can go do it.
I have trouble with that one, Steve, because all of a sudden, the certain athletes are getting $5,000 a pop from what we'll call boosters of the sports program. And I think that could get way out of line.
And it could get out of line. It could get out of line. Except, Bob, they have to pay taxes on it. And if you're in an organized thing, the IRS is going to know about it.
Well, kind of, maybe, sort of. But I could see that. You know, Steve, one of the things you know about, and probably a lot of our listeners don't, is that athletes are allowed summer employment. But it's got to
yes,
be.
Yes, they are.
But it's only basically summertime. But it can't be to babysit some millionaire booster's kitty cat for right. 20 hours a day at $100 an hour. They have rules in place to prevent the kinds of abuses that used to go on at certain universities, primarily, I think, what we would say south of the Mason-Dixon line. But but I just made that up. But apparently there was some truth to it. So they have rules about that. If they go to, you can sell your image, you can sell your autographed shirt, I think there need to be something in place, not just on the tax side, but on the let's not get the right. boosters out of hand point of view. But I agree with you. Well, I think that's person's image and likeness and signature. It has value, sure.
But, you know, the other part, too, is that right now, an area that there are two areas a student athlete should not have to worry. If they do it right, they should not have to worry about leaving college with debt. Correct?
Right.
And number two, all the benefits that they receive, whether it's a scholarship, housing, books, the new meal plan, the clothing allowance of $250 per, which is, by the way, you know, they have to receipt. That's $250 per semester. They get a clothing allowance. And, of course, they get to keep any grant money that they garner. Now, I'll admit, after talking with several players, many told me they sent the money home because their parents need it. That's when I started changing toward they need a stipend.
Yeah, and I think some of the money to go home, like a Easter break, spring break, when their sport is not in season, using football and basketball as an example. Yeah, some of these right. kids can barely have enough money to get home because they've been recruited right. from afar. You know, Penn State has wrestlers from California, football players from quite a few states, basketball players mm-hmm. from all over. And it's unfair to say, well, I guess you got to hitchhike home because there's no money.
Right.
Good luck with that, you know, or try and right. get a Greyhound bus ticket or the dollar bus ticket kind of thing. So, yeah, there's lots of things right. that could be improved.
But the long list of things I just gave you, mm-hmm. tuition, mm-hmm. room, board, okay, meal plan, books, okay, clothing allowance, grant money. Guess what all of that has in common for the student athlete?
Doesn't
it's all
cost,
tax-free.
Yeah, and it doesn't cost them a penny at all.
So it's all tax-free. Every part of it's tax-free. You know, as for going home, Bob.
Yeah.
I think if you send your parents the grant money, as an example,
yeah.
they're the ones that are responsible for getting you home.
I
mean, if you're getting grant money, if you're getting grant money plus a stipend,
yeah.
okay, part of it has to be worked out between the individual and the parent about getting home.
Sure.
I'm not in favor of the NCAA or the school
no.
paying for that.
No, I agree with you.
If you're getting a stipend part of that stipend is now what you decide to do with it.
Your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, Auto Home Life Business Insurance. If service and price means something to you, then it means everything to them. That is Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. In the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Steve, when you're sitting in the Sunbury Motors studio, do you actually get out and go and sit in the Shelby Cobra Mustang that's in the showroom from time to time just to test the seat?
Wish I could.
That's my dream from the Sunbury Motors studio. I just like.
Wish I could.
Why don't we just ask them if we could just do the show from the front seat of one of those Shelby Mustangs and just have the top down, some cool, refreshing beverages, and just do it from right over there. That's the Sunbury Motors studio I wouldn't mind sitting in.
Hey, here's the part that they would disagree with.
Okay.
That's the cool, refreshing beverages near the seats.
Yeah. We'd have to put the plastic down again. I've been through that a couple times, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that would be the issue. Kyle, they'd be fine with.
Yeah. Kyle would be in the back seat with all the different buttons and bells and whistles that he has to push throughout the show and make sure where our levels are right and all that stuff.
It would be a test to pack everything like that into a car, but I think we could do it.
Yeah, get those guys on the line, Kyle, would you? We see if they got the Mustang with the roof down in the middle of the showroom for us.
Yeah. Call Tom.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Tom. Yo. Hey, Tom. Here's one for you. We're talking today about the NCAA has done a lot of things wrong over a period of time. The rule book's too thick. And I know that part of the opinion that Penn State fans are going to have is how upset and jaded they are about what they did to Penn State and the sanctions. Again, still examining the book to see which rule was broken.
Yeah, that's
right. None were.
It's Appendix 23, Part 2, buried in a telephone book in somebody's desk at the NCAA headquarters.
Right, right. Now, as an organization, do they deserve to exist? But no, but there needs to be some centralized organization when it comes to rules.
That's right. We all got. I mean, the rule book for the individual sports, etc., has to be common. It has to be consistent. There has to be that. But Steve, the question I think people have that listen to the show and talk sports is, do you think that the so-called super conferences that comprise the big, say, the top 60 programs might just get the notion that they're going to form their own conference and wish the NCAA well as they ride off into the sunset?
Well, the part about the five power conferences is this. They don't agree on everything.
That's true.
They're not lockstep on everything that they do. I just think that something that is important is that when you have a series of rules that really pertain to those five conferences, they should be the only group voting on them. Okay? Why should the entire membership vote on something that's only going to affect those five conferences?
You know, when you think about it, like
that's the kind of autonomy they need to have, but it has to be done in such a way where it's only them that's affected.
You know, it's not fair that Penn State and the Wabash Community College in Indiana has one vote on certain things that come up before the NCAA.
Right.
Just for some reason, doesn't make any sense to me. But I know that's the democracy in one sense. That is the NCAA. Doesn't sound exactly fair. But that's
right.
The way it is.
Student tickets, by the way, for Penn State. Michigan's having trouble. They have 20,000 tickets allotted at Michigan. They have been able to only sell 14,000, and they have not had a surge of sales since. So they're still at 14,000 of their 20,000. Thus, they have 6,000 tickets unsold at Michigan for students. 6,000 unsold.
Gee, that's about 40%, is it? No, I never was good at math. 30%. There we go.
30%. Okay. Right now, Penn State senior tickets are sold out. Today's junior ticket allotment was sold out in 35 minutes. It sold. They started at 7 this morning. They were sold out at 7:35.
I know Kyle got a couple online this morning, didn't you, Kyle?
No, I missed my chance.
Oh,
darn
sorry.
It.
But the junior, the seniors sold out yesterday. The juniors sold out today in 35 minutes.
Wow.
Okay, the sophomores are on sale tomorrow. Freshmen are on sale on Thursday. But here you are selling out the junior allotment in 35 minutes. Michigan can't sell all their tickets.
And how many Penn State student tickets are in the pool of available tickets? Approximately, if you know, Steve.
The pool, the total pool of Penn State's 22,000. That's the total.
It's not a bad number.
Yeah, it's 22,000. It's one. Actually, it might be the largest student section in the country in terms of numbers.
Well, it's certainly the loudest student section in the country, regardless of numbers. The most enthusiastic student section in the country.
Yeah, when they're there and get into it, there's no question about that.
It's just getting them into the game from the parking lots is probably the issue, I think.
Yeah, noon's a little bit of a problem.
and it is. Just goes without question, actually. Yeah. They're college. We forget they're college kids.
They're younger than we are, Bob.
Yes, you know what?
It should be at our age. We're like, oh my goodness, I'm struggling to get out of bed here. I'm old.
Yeah.
You know, they're young and energetic. They should be up and going early.
Well, that's because they were getting in when the sun was coming up from Friday night, for the most part.
That's very true. They're getting in. We've been asleep for hours.
Exactly.
In a chair.
Yes.
I got to tell you one quick thing.
Sure.
I was watching this great show last night, Nicholas Player, Palmer, and Trevino all together, and I'm enjoying it every second of it. And 15 minutes in, I fell asleep. I really was enjoying the show, and I just couldn't make it any further.
Nap time came early at the Jones house.
Okay. Bob continues now with his pointer question.
Yeah. attempting to, and it just went away, Steve.
The Palmer Nicholas Trevino player thing.
I was thinking about that. That would be something that could keep me awake for 15 minutes or thereabouts. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I know. Here's the question. You know, James Franklin, when he came on board, said a few things that are memorable. One is he would be appearing at birthday parties almost everywhere in the Commonwealth. Missed mine on May the 5th, but that's okay. He promised next year.
He's missed all of them.
Yes, apparently. So he said that he would be everywhere, and frankly, he pretty much has been. The second thing he has said is that he's a guy with a Penn State heart. And the third thing he said that was the more eye-opening of those initial comments was, we're going to pack the stadium. He also said, of course, that we're going to dominate the state, which has proven to be pretty true. But the last thing, the packing the stadium, where do you think that's going to come out? I have my feeling, but I wanted to hear yours first.
They've been able to get 4,000 new season ticket holders over last year. Now, what the renewal rate was for everybody else, I'm not sure, but I know my guess is it's up over 98% on renewals. You add in 4,000 additional season ticket holders, it's at least going to bring the average in that stadium, especially if they can win a couple games, you may be able to get 102,000 per game in there. Now, I know he's going to talk about getting the 107. I mean, you'll sell out the Ohio State game.
Oh, yeah.
The problem with the Michigan State game, for example, Michigan State should be a sellout, should be, but it's Thanksgiving weekend.
Exactly. It's that last Saturday of November, 2 days after Turkey Day, and students are off campus. Now, didn't they, last year or 2 years ago, they kept the dorms, they opened the dorms early for those students coming back?
Yeah. Yes, they did. They did, but still.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that week is term break at the university. I mean, they're off the whole week.
Right.
Not just that day. They're off the entire week. It turns out, I mean, for Penn State, I think that's one of the reasons that they decided to play the game at Bucknell that week and play it on a Friday night at Soika.
Yeah.
Which is going to be it's going to be the night before the Michigan State football game, that day after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And because here on campus, you know, the whole week there's going to be nobody here.
Yeah.
Nobody.
I think with one or two exceptions, maybe an early game and then the Michigan State game, just because of what you indicated, and I agree with it, I think that we're going to see four sellouts, five sellouts. I really do.
I'm hoping. I think Maryland will be one. I think the homecoming weekend with Northwestern will be one.
Yep.
Ohio State, obviously, will be one. And then, you know, then pick another one. I mean, they're going to get close to the number that he's looking for, I think, in the end, especially if, you know, they have an exciting quarterback. He has an exciting style. Certainly has a personality that a lot of people have gravitated toward, rather charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has all of that going for him.
You know, if they can get that first game in Dublin a win, come back, I think it's Akron the second game, get a win, and they get a little, as they say, the old Big Mo, those tickets are going to be could be scarce.
Well, here's another part, too. If they finally lift the sanctions.
Yes.
And allow them to go to a bowl game, allow them to actually compete for the division championship and the right to go to the Big Ten championship game, where now you feel like you're playing, you know, real games with stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a momentum in that direction. Yeah, and look, do I have hope they're going to do that? Yes, I do have hope that they're going to do that. That when late August, early September comes around and the second yearly Mitchell report comes out, I think the door could be open for something like that. And that is going to then, I think, help spur a few extra tickets. But they have to be, you know, today in college sports, you have to be careful about what you're doing with your tickets in your stadium. You really have to be careful. I know you need the money, but that's where television comes in and where radio comes in. I mean, it was just a 15-year, $210 million deal. It was just signed by Kentucky yesterday, right, for radio and corporate partner rights. Right, that's $210 million over 15 years.
That's jaw-dropping.
Sure. You're talking about $15 million a year. And that is something where, when you make deals like that to go with what the SEC network is going to give them, plus all the other television contracts that they have, I'm not going to sit here and be a businessman, but isn't there some point where you say to yourself, okay, we can drop some ticket prices, sure, in the stadium?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Because guess what? I want to encourage people to come to my stadium. I want people to encourage them to not only come to my stadium, but also park their car at my stadium, to enjoy the concessions at my stadium, to enjoy the ambiance and atmosphere of my stadium. I, as much as I want as many people as possible watching my product on TV, my product seems a lot more exciting when there's stadiums filled.
You know, Steve,
and sounds better on TV.
It does. And you know, one thing that Penn State did this year that harkens back to when I was about 8 or 10 years old. One of the first Penn State games I ever went to in old Beaver Stadium was Band Day. My father drove the band bus from Danville to State College because the Danville, right, marching band was there with 20 or 30. And all the bands sat in the bleachers at the south end of the stadium and at halftime got on the field for some. They're bringing back Band Day of all things this year.
And that's good.
It is good, and it you know, it'll fill in a few gaps in if there are tickets available. You know, those will go to those band members who come in from all over Pennsylvania, I'm certain. And that, again, will add to the atmosphere that the person sitting at home wants to get a feel for, and it makes the viewing experience and the listening experience that much better.
They also have to do a better job, in my opinion, in the stadium of balancing what is played over the loudspeaker system, how loud it is versus letting the band play. They have to have a better balance between what the band is able to do, and I think they need more latitude versus what comes over the loudspeaker system. Now, I'm in a bad spot when it comes to that, only because with headsets on and conversation happening between Jack and myself, I don't pay as much attention to it, but I do every once in a while can hear it and realize that it's a problem.
It is a problem, and it's. I've said this occasionally. Those big stadiums, Beaver Stadium included, and the Penn State people responsible for it, are almost engaging in, and I'll call us loosely, on sportsmanlike conduct with blasting music in between breaks as the opposing team is, say, approaching the ball. And I just don't like that. It detracts from the game, I think. I think let the fans, let the band do it, but not introduce artificial noise to a situation like that that you have control over. I don't like that.
I also think there's a point where you'd like to talk to the person next to you.
Yes, that's true. Although I take my wife and I have headsets listening to you and Jack going on.
Different story there, Bob.
I know. Hopefully she's not listening this afternoon, Steve. I think she's mowing the lawn right now.
But, good. Let's take a break.
Yes.
today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, got to go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. To the phone lines at 800-795-9565. Dick and Milton. Dick, thanks for waiting.
Okay, Steve. I wanted to bring up one point, and then I was going to mention the Penn State football game. First of all, where does LeBron James play in Japan that he makes that kind of money? He said he could go to Japan or Europe. It just struck me as odd. I didn't know they played professional basketball to that level in Japan.
Well, I'm saying when he was 18 years old, he could have.
Right. I don't know that much about Japanese. I know a lot about professional basketball, but I never hear anybody going to Japan. That was my point there. Anyhow, make a long story short. You know, when you're factoring in a lot of things about Penn State football, you know, they lost X amount of people when Joe passed away. I just know that to be somewhat true. You know, for example, we had 8 guys in a motorhome and 8 tickets, and right now they still have the motorhome and 2 tickets. Because of the $600 per seat plus the price of the ticket, and then you look at the price of you have to factor in fuel. You know, there's a lot of things involved in that. Plus the overall crowd that followed Penn State as they got older, are they replaced by younger people with families that are going to spend that kind of money to come there 6 or 7 times a year? I mean, there's so many factors in there. I think it's going to be tough to get that 100,000 people again there for a while. That's just me thinking about it. There's a lot of factors involved in there besides just going up there and paying the money to get to the football game.
Right, and the economy also stinks.
I understand that. But you have to understand, I know you know this as well as I do. If you walked around that parking lot, that tailgate, there are a lot of older people there, and they're not going to go forever. They get old and they pass away, or they don't go.
Exactly.
And my point, are they going to be replaced at the level that they were there by the people that are, with young kids and that are going to show up every week and spend that kind of money. That's my fear. That's just what I'm just kind of theorizing.
And my thought is this. They need to put a lot of thought into the new TV contract, that if they're all going to get $44.5 million, what can they do then to make the stadium experience easier for fans to be a part of? How about that?
I just think there's a lot of factors in it to get that, for him to get 107,000 people up there. Especially if you're, I mean, I know that we went through this before about the non-league games, but it costs a lot of money to watch Akron play. I guess that's my point.
Yeah, it is. It does.
I mean, are you going to spend that kind of money just so you have a ticket for Ohio State and Michigan? You're going to have to spend all that kind of money for a season ticket and end up watching Temple, Akron, and you know. I guess that's my point.
Well, remember, this year the non-conference was scheduled down purposely.
I understand that.
There was, because there was a big fear that we're going to have 65 scholarships here, and you're trying to be competitive. How about that?
I hope I'm wrong. I just don't see it coming back to that level.
I think you make some very cogent points.
For news, weather, business, and CBS Sports.